the mitzvah of the day of Rosh Hashanah is Tkiyas Shofar. That's how it's already defined, you know, in the two places in the Chumash where it's addressed. You know, Zichron Truah and Parshas Emor, Yom Truah Yelachem. Even though we're Tokeya also, right, there's something called Tkiya and there's something called Truah. And, you know, the Shvarim is a form of Truah. You know, we have a suffix, whether it's like this sound, that's how we do Shvarim, that's how we do Truah, that's how we do them both. But the emphasis on the Truah for reasons that need to be explained. Right, but that's also the whole inyan of the day. Right, the mitzvah of Shofar. And we have to understand what the Shofar does to... Because even on Shabbos, when we don't blow Shofar, which is a din d'rabbanan, because midaraisa you should blow, but the rabbanan, you know, because Shema Yavreo Darams Rishus Arabim, lest the person carry it to Rishus Arabim. So Chazal already said that the Shmira Shabbos, you know, was Yerushalmi and a Medrash, that the Shmira Shabbos could act as a supplement, you know, for Tkiyas Shofar, the Zeros and Shabbos. And maybe if there's time, we'll discuss that. But the main thing I want to focus on is on the inyan of Shofar. The Zohar says that Shofar is a form of tefillah that's kolol tefillas, and it's sal ela ubaka rekin, and it goes up and it breaks through all the different firmaments. Right, reaches very, very high places. So if it's a form of tefillah, why don't we just daven? And what's it about the Shofar that it's a type of tefillah, and yet, you know, it's tefillah as we know it is not adequate. So there's another thing that we've mentioned in the previous years, that the whole nature of Rosh Hashanah is very secretive. Right? If you just read the Chumash, you would never know it's a Yom Adin. Never. It doesn't say anything. It says Yom Truah, the day of blowing the shofar. At you know, Yom Kippur, it says Mufurosh, it's the day of Kapara. Okay. Rosh Hashanah, if not for the Torah Shabbat Peh, we have no clue. You know, as to the weightiness of the day, the gravity of the day. Right, and you know, the Ramban in his Drush Rosh Hashanah addresses the issue. You know, as do all of them, we'll also, you know, say it in our way. You know, why this is something so important should be you know, not black on white in the Chumash. Now and it's really alluded to in a pasuk, that we also say in our tefillas, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kese liyom chagenu ki chokli sohu mishpat l'okei Yaakov. So in the chodesh we blow shofar b'kese. When on the covered day of our holiday. So of course the Pasha Pshat goes, like Chazal say, the simple Pshat is that it's referring to the fact that the moon, right, since it's Rosh Chodesh, the moon is covered. You know, it's less visible than visible. But of course this all ties in, this all interconnects to the hidden nature of this Chag. Right, it's something about it's covered. It's Bakese. All right, so to understand, you know, a little bit, you know, about the Inyan of Shofar, there's two historical events that the Shofar played a prominent role in. One happened, and one is yet to happen. The one that happened already is Mamad Har Sinai. And these are the psukim, you know, that are invoked, you know, in the psukim for shofaros. Many of the psukim are all from, you know, Mamad Har Sinai. Kol shofar holech v'chazuk mod. And that's how we open up. In shofaros, opens up with the psukim. Tadik leisavag v'odecha Har Sinai. That's how we open up. You know, the revelation was at Har Sinai, it was all but kol shofar. Right? And further, you know, in Shofaros, we bring the psukim of the future. When we talk of a shofar gadol, We say every single day, Tka b'shofar gadol cheruseinu. Right. So the shofar has to do with Mamon Har Sinai, the shofar has to do with the Geula, and the shofar has to do with Rosh Hashanah. And we have to look for the common denominator to understand, the Indian of this day. So where was the shofar precedented? Right?
At the Akedah.
Correct? At the Akedah. So, Amram Vinu sacrificed an isle, Tachas Bino. Right, that is the idea of the shofar. And then Rashi in the Chumash, black on white, says, "V'kol shofar lecho chazak mod, kol shofar elo shel Yitzchak." That is the sound of the, and that's what I believe it's a lashon Chazal, if I'm not mistaken. An ayil has two shofars, one was for Mamad Har Sinai, and the other one is for the Gula Asida, B'mera B'yameinu. So now at that event, right, of the Akedah, Hashem Amakom Hashem Yireh Asher Yemar Hayom Bahar Hashem Yeroe. At that time, it was consecrated, to be the makom of the Mikdash, and Avraham Avinu called it, the Torah further, changed the name a little bit. Hashem Yireh Asher Yomer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yeroeh. But what it means is, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be seen, where he is to appear. Because that's the end of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, Makom, right? Yeroeh Kol Schorchas Pnei Hashem. Liros is Pnei Adon Hashem. Right. So when you look into what happened at Mamad Har Sinai, and what has yet to happen in the Gula Asida, we're talking about the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Revelation. Right. Har Sinai Poshet. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. And as we say in the Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah, right? Kolam kol zami panecha. The whole world trembled. Everyone felt it. Gemara says that even the Goyim felt it, and they ran to Bilam, for an explanation what's going on. They thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to destroy the world again. Oh no, he's giving Torah Hashem, Islam Moite. The Torah is being given. Right. And Lasa Lava also, V'Hashem L'Melech HaKol Aretz. Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be revealed as the king of the world. He is now already, but it's known. Very few people seem to know it. So the Indian of the Shofar, generally speaking, we're going to talk about it a little bit, refine this idea and sharpen it a little bit. But but generally speaking, before we further sharpen the idea, right, is that we find it goes by divine revelation. Right, that the just like, it starts with a breath on one end, a breath that no one could hear. But on the other end, it's a loud sound. Right? So also the truth, the truths of the Torah, right, the truth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech HaKol Aretz, right? That truth is, it's out there. Just no one could hear it. No one could see it. It's not something that becomes true. It is true. Right? But the what shifts and what changes is that it goes from the nister to the nigla. It goes from being sealed to being revealed. Now, in another way of expressing that is also, to go from potential to actual. Potential. We say the potential is there. It means everything that it takes is there. It just has to unfold. It has to go from the potential to the actual. All right. And really, it could be said that the difference between potential and actual is that potential is benister and actual is benigla. Now, potential is just sealed away within whoever or whatever is carrying the potential. And when it goes from potential to actual, it's gone from, you know, concealed to revealed. Right? It unfolds. Right? And that's the... Right, and that's the difference between pregnancy and birth. Right, that during the Yemea Ibur, right, that's when a person gets all his potential. They teach him the whole Torah and everything that's necessary. The rest of his life, his or her life, right? It's all set during those 9 months. And that's why, God forbid, Hashem Yirachem, it's very dangerous to get sick, during that time. It can make a permanent defect, because when you're dealing with the pregnancy, you're dealing with basically the whole life of the individual in condensed form. And that's why anything that happens during pregnancy could be long-term, permanent, because it's not just 9 months out of the year. It's like that individual's whole life in condensed form. That everything that happens outside the womb is just that unfolding. That's why anything that happens in the womb could make all the difference in the world forever. Right? And so now you know that's not a coincidence. Chazal tell us that that the imos were nifkad on Rosh Hashanah. Who knows that, the imos were nifkad. Hashem vetzor yulein. Hashem pakad esara. Right? They're able to get pregnant. That happened in Rosh Hashanah.
All of them?
Yeah, it's what I think. I believe that's Lashon of Chazal, but, we'll take responsibility for it, but, That's where yulein. Hashem pakad esara. The first day of Rosh Hashanah. Right? And it's the pekida, it's not the leda, it's not the birth. It's not the birth. The birth was Pesach. Yitzchak was born on Pesach. That's why Malchim came on Pesach, says, Kei Sazos Ulasara Ben, this time next year, Pesach. 7 month pregnancy, before we get back to shofar per se, that's really what we're dealing with on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, the script for the whole year is being written. It's like pregnancy. It's like the plan that gradually unfolds after Rosh Hashanah. It's setting the plan, setting the scripts, like setting the DNA map, which is what gets set at pregnancy. And so whatever you do on Rosh Hashanah affects the whole year. Which is the part of the Inyan for the Simanim, Simana Milsa. Why don't we do Simanim every single day of the year? I need Karti Ben, I need Karti Bad all the time. Right? Right? But only in Rosh Hashanah. Right? Simana Milsa, because that's the time that affects the whole year. After Rosh Hashanah, it's like any day. The truth is, there's a... Aser Simetshuva is a part of the process also, but the time to make a simen, right, that's going to make a permanent difference, right, but there's also other inyanim in simen we're going to discuss in a few minutes, right, but time to make a something that could make a permanent difference is at this critical juncture where things are in formation. After it's formed already, it's too late. It's formed. So that's time to drop simenim and... it applies when things are in formation, things are already formed, it's too late. It applies when you're dealing with a day that includes in it all the days of the year. All the days are there.
Now, what about Yom Kippur? It's just like finalized?
Yeah, well, you can still... It's not the same as Rosh Hashanah, but with the power of tshuva, you get a another crack at it. Yeah, with the power of tshuva. Yeah, but that's, for the people, that's you have to be worthy of that, The Rishoyim nechtamim la'altu l'misa, and the Tzadikim nechtamim la'altu l'chaim. For the Beinonim, they still have, they could still work on forming their world until, right. Now, of course, ein l'chol dovar b'fnei tshuva, anyone who does tshuva sincerely, but it's mikoach tshuva. It's only tshuva. That's the answer to the famous kasha they ask. They ask this. I wasn't going to speak about this, but now since you raised it, there's a kasha everyone asks. If tzaddikim are rubo zakai, and rishoyim are rubo chayev, beinonim are 50-50. Right. So why does the Gemara say dafka if they, when the Ram brings it la halacha and hilchos tshuva, dafka if they do tshuva, they're nechtamim l'chaim. Just do one more mitzvah. Right, mm-hmm. You just gotta push it over the 50% mark. So what dafka tshuva? Any mitzvah should be, right? Right. Answer is like this. It's too late. Rosh Hashanah was already, right? But tshuva is like a time machine, right? So dafka only tshuva works. You can't just do one more mitzvah. It's over. Rosh Hashanah passed, right? It's you're after conception already, so the DNA map has been set. Right, it's too late to do just one more mitzvah. You should have did that before Rosh Hashanah. But tshuva works retroactively, so that's why dafka tshuva. Right? Well, as far as because tshuva can expunge your record. Tshuva works. Retroactively. Mitzvahs don't work retroactively. It's just this point. It's too late. But tshuva is like a time machine. But even then, this opportunity to use the power of tshuva is dafka during these 10 days. After Yom Kippur is the chasima. And it's much, much harder. And after Hoshana Rabbah, it's even harder. Tshuva always works, of course, is how easy and versus how hard. So tshuva is most... received and most potent, during these 10 days, but it has to be tshuva because it's after Rosh Hashanah already. So you're working backwards. and that's what we say in the tefillah, Hayom Haras Olam. It's the day of the conception of the world. It's not Brias Olam. Famous Tesvis that we mentioned last week. Tesvis took the Piyutim of Rabbi Elazar Kalir very, very seriously. And in his Piyutim, it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Whether the world was created in Nisan or Tishrei, it's a machlokas Rabbi Elazar Yeshua. So now, Rabbi Elazar Kalir and his piyutim for Tishrei, the world is created Tishrei. Really. And his piyutim for Pesach, this is the month of creation. He plays both sides of the issue. Right? So Rabbeinu Tam says, listen, it's true. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. B'tishrei ola b'machshava liboros, v'lo bro ad nisan. The world is created both b'machshava and then b'maisa. Right, it was first planned out, and then it was created in Bapa, and then Benisan Ola B'machshava. Right, and then Benisan, it was actually created. Right, so now this should automatically ring a bell that the there's an association with another Maimar Chazal Ola B'machshava Liboros B'midas Adin Rosh Hashem Skaim Shitif M'amias Rachmim Ubra. Rosh will contemplate creating the world with Din. And that's Tishrei. That's why it's a month of Din. Shitim Midas Rachmim Ubra'ah. They actually added Midas Rachmim and created it because the world wouldn't have a Kiyum. That's in Nisan. That's why Nisan is a month of Rachamim. And it's the difference between pregnancy and birth. And that's the 7 months. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tev, Shvat, Adar, Nisan. 7 month pregnancy. The world is born, you know, on. But that's the end of Rosh Hashanah. It's the pregnancy of the world. Right? The gene map is being set in the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, and everything is just to unfold, you know. And you know, life only really starts in the spring, you know, because in the winter everything's dormant still. You know, if you live in the Northern Hemisphere like civilized people, the birth is on Pesach. That's also kind of do with Pesach, seeing the birth of Am Yisrael. But everything is set, you know, during the days of Rosh Hashanah, right? And that's just between potential. Actually, that's there's between concealed and revealed, also. You know, pregnancy maybe is concealed in the womb, and then birth is, you know, revealed. So now, here's something, you know, to go a little bit deeper into this, in this process, right, that the, of shitifim amidas harachamim ubra'a, that the, and we spoke about this in previous years, that's not the pshat, right, that the midas hadin was cancelled. That's not the pshat, right, it's actually called progress. You know, mashal ma davar doima. Right? When the fruit bud initially emerges, it's bitter. It's not edible. Right? As you let it grow more and more, it sweetens. It ripens. Right? Until it's not just, you know, not just fit for consumption, it's even pleasurable to consume. Right? When, you know, the midas hadin, right, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we spoke about this many times, right, that's the law of life. Right, you know, if there wouldn't be Midas HaDin, you know, there wouldn't be laws of nature. It wouldn't be Midas HaDin. You could have right now we're going to talk about the hurricane soon. Right, you know, if we wouldn't have Midas HaDin, you could have a hurricane like that for no reason in the middle of the day. You know, law and order. Right, the law and order that there is in the universe is from the Midas HaDin that keeps everything in its gvul and its programming. Right? You know, it's the opposite of what people think. Right? That the Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the laws of the Torah, all right, are something that are, you know, constraining, restricting, and, you know, anyway, you know, interfere or cramp life. It's not. It's what life is built on. It's what life is constructed on. All right? There would be no guarantee that you would be here tomorrow if you're of good health, if there wouldn't be Midas HaDin in the world. It means the world works on a certain Seder. Right? There's law and order. It's the laws of biology, chemistry, physics. It's almost the law of life. Right? And ultimately, the immortality that we want to attain is all from Midas HaDin. Chesed is not mechayev of anything. There's no chesed, you know, chesed is voluntary. You know, but voluntary means that, you know, it's done out of whim. There's no commitment. It's not a coincidence that we earn our immortality through dinim, observing halacha, because then there becomes a law that we must exist. And then that's when we exist forever. All right. The 26 kilolam chastos in the Kalal Agado, right? Right, those are connected to 26 generations before the Torah was given. And it was called that the world was standing on nothing. The world could have gone back to tohu vavohu until Am Yisrael's makabel the Torah. Right. Chesed is nice, but it's air. It doesn't. There's no commitment there because there's no chiyuv. You don't have to. Right. So that something should be solid and committed and eternal. Right. You need midas adin. Right. But you know, as it were, the midas adin has to call it. In the words of the Mekubalim, and the Ramchal explains this in the Sefer Das, for us, the Midas Din has to be born, the Midas Din has to ripen. All right? So the transition from Dinim to Rachamim is a natural progression. It's there's nothing bad about the Midas Din. It's when things aren't ripe yet. And I'm going to explain that in a second. But you take a look, you know, in one of the brachas that get slightly altered for the Yamim Noraim, which talk about din, justice. Hashiva shofteinu kvar rishon. That's it. Right? And Obraida staka umishpat, we want justice. Right? So what is the pasuk? How does the tefillah go? V'hasari men yirgom v'anacha, umlocha leinu ata Hashem levadacha b'chesed uv'rachamim. Bechesed rachamim, you don't talk about mishpat, right? But it's hasri menu yagon va'anocha, and it's chesed v'rachamim, right? Because the midas hadin naturally progresses, you know, and sweetens, right? By becomes chesed v'rachamim, but not chesed v'rachamim in the negative sense, but chesed v'rachamim backed up by the commitment and strength of the Midas Adin. The Chesed V'Rachamim that is going to be in the future, that's going to be Chesed V'Rachamim that will never be revoked because it's backed up by Midas Adin. It came from Midas Adin. So it has, it's standing on something. The Gemara tells us that also Hakadosh Baruch Hu lotzi chama min artika, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is destined to take the sun out of its sheath. It will be these unbelievable rays. Shemesh staka umarpe. Right? On the pasuk, Shemesh staka umarpe. Right? That means that the sun of justice, right, and healing. Right? That the tzaddikim Misrapimba or Shoim Nidorimba, the same rays at the same time will hit the Tzaddik in Russia. They're tanning on the same beach, right? Side by side. Right? And the Tzaddikim get refuah from it, and Roshoim get consumed by it. Same rays. Same rays at the same time. Right? Because the Pshat is like this, right? Akash Brochu's Ratzin is to be mative. And if he set up the Midas Adin, right, obviously it's the best thing for us because his whole Ratzin is to be mative. You know what the problem is with Din? You know, is that you have to be on the same side as the law. That's the issue. You gotta be on the same side. Right? If you're on the same side, so you have the Midas Adin behind you, and there's nothing better. Right? But now if you position yourself, you know, anti, so you have the Midas Adin against you. The tzaddikim position themselves, you know, that they are interested and they're committed to doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So for them, you know, the Midas Adin is marpe. Mamash heals them. Right. And, you know, and the Rishonim that position themselves oppositionally, right, so the same Midas Adin, right, that builds up the tzaddikim, you know, consumes them because they position themselves that way. We talk about, you know, that the Midas Adin has to be born. And that's the thing that we read, you know, the parsha of Hashem Pakasar, then Leidas Yitzchak, right, connected to Midas Adin, right, Midas Adin has to be born, and the Midas Adin has to mature. You find this idea in the Mekubalim, but it's in the Pesukim, right? Tzion b'mishpat tipade, shiftu yasa, real money, gula, justice, justice. justice will prevail. We're talking about din, justice. Right? Right? Because, you know, the maturing process is one of where there's going to be integration between us and our lives, right? And the midas hadin. Because, you know, when something is on the outside pushing you around, that hurts. That's upsetting, right? If it's something that you chose to do, it's great. Right? The question is, you know, whether the midas hadin is going to be, as it were, removed from the world, and it means it pushes the world around, right? Or it's going to be integrated. When midas hadin is integrated, everyone gets it. Everyone understands what life is about. There's nothing wrong with midas hadin. It's very easy to live with. You just got to understand that this is the way life was meant to be. It wasn't meant to be otherwise. You know, and when the world becomes integrated with the midas hadin, that's Hashem el melech al kol haaretz, right? Everyone understands malchus shemayim. We're talking about a world of utopia. Lo yarei v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kochi ki mala aretz daya es Hashem. Everyone knows that was really barsal. And it's called that the midas hadin now has been integrated into reality. Right? It's not, you know, working against, it's working with. And when you're working with, you have all that power behind you, backing you up. You work against, you have all that power against you. That means that and of course, to the extent that you're dedicated, you know, so you deserve to be graded on the curve if you're a loyal citizen. Just you get it wrong sometimes. Right? So the midas hadin naturally transitions into chesed as it goes from potential to actual, as it goes from concealed to revealed. Right? Naturally transitions in that, you know, of course, if in course of the revelation meaning, but here's the catch, revelation meaning, you know, revealed within our minds and hearts, that we get it, we understand it. That's what it means, revealed. Revealed doesn't stop mean visible. Revealed over here means accepted. Because if we reject midas hadin, so when it gets revealed as hurricanes. Gets revealed as disease. That's not what the revelation that we're talking about. It's not the revelation we're talking about. It's a revelation that it's revealed in the mind and heart. It's accepted. All right, and that's the unique mission of Am Yisrael. You know, something we've forgotten very badly. All right, the unique mission of Am Yisrael is, you know, we are the vehicle through which the Ribon Shalom's Malchus is revealed. Right? You know, his laws are revealed through the Torah, which is given to us, and that he is Melech, you know, we're the ball that he uses in that game. It's processed through us. And that's our role as the chosen people. Right? That the Gilui Malchus Shamayim, the Gilui of the Mishpat, it's all going to be through Klal Yisrael. It passes through us. And, ideally, you know, because I'll say, in yesh din lamata, ein din yored milamala. Right? When people go to din Torah, not the secular court, and do everything al pi halacha, right? You know, so if there's din lamata, there's no need for midas din to come down from heaven. Because again, and you know, that's the beauty of it. When the midas hadin is integrated within humanity, there's disagreements, but it gets settled and gets settled peacefully, and no one has to suffer. Right? And sach hakol was unpleasant a little bit, but after there's a shalom and things got cleaned up. If it has to come milamala, as in milamala, as if it's coming from somewhere else, and it's not integrated, that's when it hurts. When it's not integrated. When it feels like it's coming from the outside, pushing you around. But Am Yisrael is gifted with the role of being the chosen people, is to be the conduit to integrate Malchus Shamayim into the world. But it happens first by being integrated within us. And that's the secret. that the holiness of Rosh Hashanah is in the Torah Shebaal Peh, the unique aspect of Torah that's special for Klal Yisrael. Lo nechrus bris al dvarim shebaal peh. Right? The Tanakh, they stole from us. The Torah Shebaal Peh, they can't steal from us. The aspect of the Torah that's ours only. Right? They can't take it, they can't steal it. They can't. It's a special bris between us and him. And it follows perfectly symmetrical. Right? Because the Torah Shebaal Peh is the hidden part of Torah. That's why they couldn't take it from us. You know, the Bible that could buy in any Barnes and Noble. Right? And that's connected to Midas HaDin, because that's where Halacha is explained. Halacha is not explained adequately in the Chumash, not meant to be, right? The only way you can only, there's not a single mitzvah you could do with all its pratim and dikdukim without the Torah Shebaal Peh, not even Bris Milah, never says where to cut. Take a look, never says. Without the Torah Shebaal Peh, not one mitzvah you could do right, not one mitzvah. Right, all the laws were defined there. Right, and that's the hidden part of Torah. You know, parallel to how the Midas HaDin is hidden. Right, and needs to be revealed. And the process of going from the hidden to the revealed is called the birth and the maturation of the Midas HaDin. But that, again, like I said, revealed doesn't mean, you know, that the Midas HaDin should be meted out. That's a mistake. Revealed means integrated. But the process is first integrated in the minds and hearts of Klal Yisrael, and then it spills over to the rest of humanity, and that's when the world is utopia. That, and forget that the number one thing about utopia is that there's tzedek, there's justice in the world. Justice. And when there's justice in the world, right, there's no problem, you know, that there should be chesed and rachamim also. But it's justice. And the mission of the absorption of the justice is Am Yisrael's unique mission. It's not for the goyim. It's our job. Rosh Hashanah is for us. It was hidden in the Torah Shebaal Peh that they should never know about. It's got nothing to do with them. Excuse me?
It says the whole world is judged.
That's correct. And there's nothing they can do about it. We're the only ones who could do something about it. We're the only ones.
So they're judged, but they can't change their judgment, and we can change our judgment with Shuva?
Yes.
That's the ultimate.
It's in our hands. You know, it's in our hands how to position things, whether things are anti-din or with the din. That's only we could change that cosmic position. You know, but it's a process that we're going to explain. You know, and it's right, but that's you know, that's the role that we play in reality. Just like only we have Torah, therefore, by the same token, Umishpatim Bal Yedom, by the same token, Rosh Hashanah is only for us. Right, something that's uniquely for Am Yisrael. Uniquely hinging on Am Yisrael.
So on Rosh Hashanah, we are affecting, like, the entire world.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's all in our hands. Uniquely in our hands, because that's not their job.
So what are they judged on?
They're judged on whatever they did wrong. But there's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing they can do about it, you know, because and for reasons that we're about to explain, they're not rooted in that very high place where the Midas HaDin is, in the inner chambers of reality. We are. We have roots there. We reach there. But you know, our roots there and we reach there, we're going to discuss that in a second. Can't get that by regular tefillah. So we need the shofar for. And I'll discuss it in a second. All right, but it's the... this issue of... Ashriya Yoidei Trua. Right, we're the only ones who know the secret of the Trua. Hashem Ba'or Panecha Ya'alechad. We walk, you know, we walk with the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. which is an amazing thing, you know. You know, the Torah brings it that, you know, the Medrash, that, you know, when a guy has to go to court, he's ois mensch. You know, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he goes in there looking like a wreck the day he goes to court. And Am Yisrael, you know, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we wash, we bathe, we shave. It's one of the rice you didn't used to shave, that Medrash. Megalchim, right? Right, the big Indian, take a haircut and shave before. Some people are very mad because of this medrash. You know, don't wait till Sukkot. Yeah, Megalchim. Right, go in there. We go. It's black and white. It's up as a chidush arim based on that medrash that says that. Interesting, you know, that we know that 365 lavin connected 365 days of this solar cycle. He says the lav that's connected Erev Rosh Hashanah is the Baal Takif and Baal Tashris, you know, the Yisr of Karim, because that's how you're supposed to take a haircut, so you're Nizar, not to, so that's the lav of the day, since everyone's meant to get a haircut then, right? But okay, Ana Bedidan, right? Am Yisrael goes into Rosh Hashanah confident, well bathed, you know, well groomed, right? Right? Because we understand that the Midas HaDin is ultimately for our benefit, and we have to accept responsibility of how to channel the Midas HaDin, channel it. That it's a world building force. I'm not saying anti world. The people who run away from Din are the ones that are positioning themselves in a oppositional relationship. You're not working with, right? We have to work with, not work against. So. Right, that's saying that, you know, we don't do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah in the normative sense of the word. There's no vidui. There's no, yeah. Oh, then Yud Gimel Midas that we say when we open up the Aron, you know, which we do by any Yom Tov. Oh, there's no Yud Gimel Midas, right? And we're on trial. Yom Kippur is after the trial. Right? Because there's something more fundamental that has to get done on Rosh Hashanah. Right, and it's right. It's Mamash, the Rosh, you know, it's Mamash the head, you know, it's the beginning itself, right? The beginning of anything, because the beginning of anything involves, you know, an idea. You know, Bereshis, B'chokhmasa, Targum says, everything starts with an idea. Right, and then the challenge is right to try to stick with the plan. Right? Why the projects fail? Why the commitments that you make not last? I mean, not you guys. I mean, you guys are perfect. I'm not talking about me. Right? Right. You know, well, what's the difference between the commitments that stick and commitments that don't stick? Projects that follow through and the projects don't follow through. Where's the difference? It's all in the head. Right? Because it's like this. You know, as someone who once took on the futile project of trying to whip me into shape, told me once, right, Rabbi Beckhoffer, right, if you wake up one morning, you know, 50 pounds heavier than you are now, what would you do? That you'd starve yourself and you would just put on your shoes and run and run and run until all that weight goes away. Why? Because it goes counter to your perception of what you should weigh. Right? So of course you do stop at nothing. Right? Stop at nothing to, because you won't accept yourself the way you are. you won't accept it. So you won't do anything to rid yourself of those 50 pounds that came to you by shock. Your problem is, as he told me, is having righted the problem. Right? My problem is that you're accepting of yourself, of your current weight. And that's why it's like, you know, if your perception of reality is as such that things are acceptable the way they are, then the commitment to change it is very superficial. It's not rooted deep. It's not rooted deep. So you take a look. You know, that's just between determination and having determination and not having determination. It's all about, do you accept the situation as it is, just you wish it were better, or you're totally unaccepting of the situation as it is. That's the difference. It's in the head. I mean, but it's in the head on a very, very deep fundamental level, your most basic perception of reality. Your most basic perception of reality. So you're talking about somewhere, you know, much deeper, much higher, much deeper than where words go. You know, when we start using language, you know, there's already a lot of preconceived notions already in place. You know, words are already complex ideas. People don't realize that, you know, the words are, I mean, you know, we have this in Lashon HaKadosh. We break down words into their shorashim. And sometimes, you know, some people like Refersh and others try to even break up the shorashim into the more elemental letters. Yeah, so, and we're going to have that coming up in Nefesh HaChaim. You know, when you're dealing with words already, you're already a few steps down the line, you know, of where your consciousness starts from. You're already a few steps down the line. You know, and that's why there's, that's why you have the most common problem of communication. And, you know, you say things you don't really mean. You know, words don't necessarily reflect, you know, what's going on in your most innermost heart. And then there's furthermore that, you know, words are very tricky, right? You know, define meaningful. Go ahead. Define good. Right? And these are words that we throw around, and, you know, and what a person would call meaningful, I would call nonsense and a waste of time. And the way to resolve that is not going to the dictionary, because the dictionary is not going to solve that debate between me and you of what's called meaningful. All right? So, in fact, the guy who wrote the dictionary has his agenda also. All right? It's, you know, there's a few layers in the consciousness that go, you know, beyond and deeper than where, you know, before words even emerge. Basic perceptions of what reality is, basic perceptions of what's important and what's not, you know, that's the problem. You know, that's why we're seeing in our day and age, you know, an amazing thing. You know, being in the information age has not brought us any bracha, right? That everyone's aware of everything. And yet, a person from the left side of the political spectrum, a person from the right side of the political spectrum, they can't talk to each other. Even when they don't go, you know, they end up hitting each other because they can't talk to each other. You put them in a room, they're talking different languages. They're both talking English, but they're not talking the same language. Both have a totally different notion of what's good, what's meaningful, what's justice. It's amazing. You know, and I'm going to talk more about this, that the, the Hashem Tzilchal Yad Yiminecha, we learned, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just always shadowing us. And what's going on around us is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu holding up a mirror to us. And if we see what's going on, you can be sure we're seeing that, because that's what's going on with us. All right, so if there's no discourse in this country, you know, there's no political discourse, there's no dialogue, right? People use the same words in different ways. serious problem. Right? And then the problem, because there's obviously, there are perceptions that go beyond and are more basic than words, tucked away in the, you know, in the back of the mind, tucked away in the core of your perception, the core of your CPU. Right? That's and that's all parallel to how in reality also there is the point where all concept starts from. And from there it branched out into words. That's what we find by Mamad Har Sinai. It was koilos, sounds. Kol shofar holech v'chazak mod. Chazal count 5 koilos, according to Medrash, 7 koilos. And so it's interesting. Chazal tell us that it started as a koil, and then it broke up into 5 or 7 koilos, different lashonos in Chazal. And then it broke up into shivim lashonos. It went from kol to dibur. Say straight. That was called Dremel. No. It went from kol to dibur. Because right, there's something about kol that reaches a higher and more elemental place than dibur. Dibur is carved out of kol. It's carved out of there. Right, but it's not where it starts from. There's a higher starting point. Right, that the kol is based on, that the dibur is based on, I meant to say. We're going to come up to shortly Nefesh HaChayim Shaar Beis. It's going to say something very interesting. Right, that the in the laning, you know, in the Torah. So we have the nikud, you know, the way to pronounce the word. But then there's the ta'amim, right? The trop, right? That's, that how the Torah is meant to be laned. There's also the musical movement. So he says something very interesting. I mean, api omek kabbalah, right? All based on Zohar. That, it's not a coincidence that the musical movement called the trop is called in Lashon HaKodesh Ta'amim. Ta'am means reason, like my timer. You know, what's the reason? Ta'amei HaMitzvos. Right? And he says like this, he gives a mashal. Right? Someone, I put his mashal in my own words, right? You know, someone knocks on your door at 3 a.m. All right, come down. Yes, open up. Yes, sorry if I woke you. You weren't sleeping, were you? Right, but I need a cup of milk. All right. So you say to him like this, I'm glad you came. You know, I always want you to come at 3 a.m. Like, never, never come at a normal hour. Never. I hate it when people come at normal. I only want you to come at 3 a.m. Get it? All right. The next day he comes again at 3 a.m. You said it was okay. All right. This person who's obviously obtuse, right? He should have heard in the tone of your voice that you were mad as hell, right? And that's what you're really thinking. You know, if a person is not a very good actor or not a politician and not reality challenged, right? So you could tell if they're being sincere and they really mean what they say by the tone of voice a lot more than the actual words that they're technically saying. And that's the time. That's what a person's really thinking. That's hidden away. It's not in the dibur. Divrei Torah reach far higher than the actual words. The actual words of the Torah that are black and white. They reach much higher. There's the kol. There's the sound. And that's why we're still writing more svarim and more svarim. We're not done. Because there's not just the dibur, there's the kol, and that's where the infinity of Torah lays. That's why we can't close the yeshivas, even though we've produced translated Gemaras, because you don't get the Kol Torah from the translation. Yeah, whatever. Well, no, I'm not gonna go off on that right now. But the the Kol, the infinite intelligence, you know, and the elemental truths is the Kol, and then the deeper is actually the next level. You start constructing things based on that Kol. Question is whether you're constructing correctly or not. And that's what I find, I always say that's what it means, that Kol Mesameach Chas Makal Zocha Chamisha Koilos, right? Because it's learned out of Mamad Ar Sinai, just like Torah was given by Zocha LaTorah, Zocha Chamisha Koilos. Mamad Torah, Mamad Ar Sinai was Chamisha Koilos, and Chas Minkala, the Navi talks about Chamisha Koilos, so Zocha LaTorah, it's all Kol, Gzer Shava, Kol. Pshat is like this, just like with Torah, it's not just the words. It's not just the words. That is, if all you need is to translate, it's not. You got to listen to the Kol. The Kol God of Lo Yasaf. I mean, say, you want your marriage to survive. You don't just listen to the words. You got to listen to what she's really saying. You see, and that comes across not in the words, that comes across in the tone. You ask, can I go out and get drunk with my friends? Sure. Anytime. You wonder why she left you. I guess. She said it was okay. That's the problem. That's the problem. But what happens when, the Kol itself is also, perverted? And that's what we're dealing with right now. That, what we see, we have to, look at ourselves in the mirror, and the mirror is life that's going on around us. That's God's mirror to us. Right? Something that Klai Yisrael seems to have forgotten. Right? Everything that goes on around us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly talking to us. Constantly. It's one of the things that Chassidus was supposed to teach Am Yisrael. HaKadosh was constantly talking. You see the leaf fall off the tree. He's talking to you. He's always talking to you. Right, and the language is, the language of communication between us and the Hashgacha is that everything that happens around us is a mirror. He's showing you a reflection of yourself. And you have to, look around and learn from whatever's going on around you, because if it's going around you, it means that there's a message. Right? So one of the things that we see over here is that, people don't use words the same way. That's why there's no discourse, there's no dialogue anymore. Right? Hashem Yirachem. Right? Because there's something obviously more elemental than the words itself. Two people could be speaking English and they still don't understand each other. It's not obviously more elemental ideas behind the words. He didn't hear anything intelligible. It's not like the call of Mamad Ar Sinai. The revelation, that there is has to, from Midas Hadin, from there to, full gilui lamata, right? It has to come from the roots of the issue, right? And that's higher when the words reach. It's more elemental. Words are further down the line, further down the chain. There's the language of pure thought. That's not words. The closest thing we have to language of pure thought is, on earth, is mathematics. Without getting into the whole complexity of it, Dok v'tishkach, the language, anything, if you want, pure thought, it's math. Words is not, it's not pure thought. It's, there are some words that have been coined that have just, false meanings. Shilohoyav lo nivra. Right, we make up words all the time, and people get very excited over them, like social justice, gender studies, gossip, right? No, it's not. And so the shofar is about, so what it was by Mamad Har Sinai and what it's going to be by the Gula Asida. Then we're going to get into Rosh Hashanah that's in between. Right, but it's talking about revelation from what we call the Rashis HaMachshava all the way down, to talk about it. But from Rashis HaMachshava, right? And that's where we're rooted. Bereshis, Bishul Yisosh, Nikru Rashis. We're rooted in the very first thought for creation. That's where we're rooted. We're rooted in a place that goes where words don't reach. A place that precedes words. Came before words. Right? The Reish the Machshav, same place where Torah comes from. Bereshis Bishul Yisrael, Bereshis Bishul HaTorah. Right? And that's the ultimate, challenge that there is in Rosh Hashanah. You got to find your place there. That when, case in point, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Na'aseh Adam, right? Right, do you fit that bill? Do you fit that description? HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned. I envisioned an Adam. Are we that Adam? Right. Do I fit with the Baruch Hu's plans? Right. So we know the Goyim don't. There's a, Ve'kach etzo marisi, Adam atem, atem kruim Adam, ve'na'akum kruim Adam. Right. So that's what we said. Rosh Hashanah is just for us. Right. We're rooted there. We're rooted in that fundamental place where everything starts from. Right? The conception of the world. Harasola. Right? And we have to, on Rosh Hashanah, find our place in the Rashis. Rosh Hashanah, Rashis. Find our place there. Right? And set things up, align things that, the Olah B'machshava Libaros B'midas Adin and us are on the same team. We come from the same place. It's not it versus us. We're from there. Right? and that's it. And that's really the how many times have you said sorry? I'm sure in most abusive relationships, the word most commonly used is sorry. I'm stumma. Every other word, sorry. Right? And yet the relationship is abusive. Right, sorry doesn't help, because if it's going to be the same way the next day and the same way the next day, so what's the sorry worth? It's not worth anything. Right. Until things change, and things have to change at the roots, things have to change, at the core. Right. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's one of the Aser Simei Tshuva, but it's not a day of saying sorry. It's a day of just getting it straight, because otherwise, sorry, it doesn't mean anything. Now, that's what it means with Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You get this straight. He's our Melech. I work for him. He doesn't work for me. Right? And it's a privilege to work for him. Right? Yal zichonechem lefanai l'toiva. Right? We're in his thoughts. That means that when he said Na'aseh Adam, he had us in mind. We fit that bill. We're according to plan. Not against the plan, that the plan and us are, we're according to plan. That's Zichronis. Ubema, and with what? With Shofar. Right? So now, by Mamad Har Sinai and by the Gula Asida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew the Shofar. Right? And he forced revelation. Now, the failure that there was. Mamad Har Sinai is that we couldn't keep up the pace.
Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. Gila? Gila?
The failure was we couldn't keep up the pace. Right, and that's, you know, there was pushback. The world resisted. And that's what Chazal say, that because it was given so benigla, shelter by Ayin Hara, those Ayin Hara, and that's why Shviras Aluchas, you know, Ego, Shviras Aluchas. Right, the world pushed back. There was recoil. Mitzideo means that we just couldn't keep the pace that was set at Mamad Har Sinai. In the Gula Hasida, you know, the world will be able to keep the pace. There won't be recoil. There won't be pushback. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself, B'mer B'yameinu. Right? What's in between is Rosh Hashanah. And, you know, there's been a lot of in-betweens, you know, as Mashiach is delaying in coming, you know, Bav Noseinu. Right? The Ribono Shel Olam says like this, you know, by Mamad Har Sinai you failed. That was the kol shofar elo shel Yitzchak, right? When I blew the shofar, right? You trembled, but you didn't integrate. And that's why, you know, things regressed, you know, with the Cheda Ego and Shvir Saluchas. Now it's your turn. You blow the shofar. And as it says in the Zohar, black and white, that when we blow our shofar, Ribono Shel Olam actually responds. Midakarim, he blows it, but you have to blow. Now you blow, right? You know, that, you know, it means, you know, you're going to have to start. You're going to have to initiate. All right? And,
the difference between a Hisarais de Leila and Hisarais.
Yes, correct. We have to start. Rebarsha will blow his shofar in response to our blowing the shofar. Except you can't just blow the shofar any day. No, it's the day when it's a mitzvah, and when that's the day it's wired up to work. Because when he blew the shofar, we didn't get into pace fully. Now it's our turn.
Why didn't he blow it in such a way that we would get into pace and we could handle it?
That was a failure in us, obviously, but that's what it means, that the world wasn't ready, that there was Ayin Hara. That's why the second Luchos were given quietly. The world wasn't ready yet. Now, the truth is, we were supposed to work with the Torah for a certain amount of time to condition the world. Now, the Mashiach wasn't supposed to come immediately. It was supposed to, we were supposed to, with the Torah mitzvahs, condition the world, like we're discussing. Bring it in. Now, cause the integration, and then could come the Gula Asida, you know. We failed to keep the pace. But of course, if we would have kept up the pace, then we could have accelerated the process. So still would have been a process. Still would have had to done the Tariag Mitzvahs, you know, at least once. But couldn't keep up the pace. Yeah. And now it's our job, you know, to take initiative. Right, and do ourselves what he did for us, right? And we have it in us, you know. We could, right? Because when Avraham Avinu went to the Akedah, right, it went against anything he understood, right? He had what to ask, you know. You said we read in the first day, Lady of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem Pakar Sara. So as a garish sama asos. Kibi Yitzchak Yikrael Chazara. Right? You could have tied to that. You said, Kibi Yitzchak Yikrael Chazara. Right? This was, you know, over his head. Right? There's no way he could wrap his head around this. That's why it's a funny sign. There's no way he could wrap his head around it. Right? But there's something bigger than what you could wrap your head around. Right? Right? That's being committed to, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you do. Right? That commitment is bigger than what you could understand. That's what it means it's beyond words. Words is, you know, how you're framing it in your head. Sort of things you're over your head. Right? And that's what the shofar's connected, what's over your head. But, you know, it is the most liberating process because it's a chance to reset your whole central processing unit and redefine everything. You know, what's important, what's not important. You know, that's supposed to use Rosh Hashanah for. It's the Rosh. Right? Rosh Hashanah, Sfarim say, right? Rosh Hashinui. It's the beginning of change. You really want to change, you gotta You got to reset. You got to reset the core of your values. Your core values, your core perceptions that are even beyond words. Your most basic perceptions of reality that are more elemental than words have to be realigned. Have to be, aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's values. You got to do it on a very fundamental level. You know, everyone says, I wish I was a Talmud Chacham. I wish I was a Tzaddik. No, wish. I wish. That's words. That's just words. That's just words. And nothing comes from that. I must be a Tzaddik. I must be a Talmud Chacham. That's different. You know, but a person could say, I must, but he means, I wish. I must doesn't mean I must until it comes from the core. So you could say I must, and you mean I wish. I really must. I must means I would like to. Yeah. You know, those are the words. Where's the kol? Right? And that's what it means. That's what the Zohar means. That shofar is a tefillah that's kol ol tefillahs. It's not just, you know, because it's limitless, because it's not limited to any particular words. But it also, it's baka rakiyan. It breaks through all the firmaments. It breaks through, you know, the very core. The very core of reality. To the, what the, what's called the reishis hamachshava. You know, I think in the previous years we quoted the Gemara. That the Gemara, you know, says you shouldn't put, you know, can of gold on the shofar. It reminds of the eagle. In Kateger Nasa Saneger. Right? How could a shofar, you know, be a limud zchus if it reminds the ego? So Gemara asks a simple question. It's only a problem inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because the Kohen Gadol wore big days of in the Bay Area. Yeah. It's only a problem inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to wear lavan. That's all, yeah. You know, what's the problem? You know, we blow shofar in any shul, anywhere, you know, not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's the problem? It's only a problem with Kodesh Kadoshim. So Gemara says, Shofar kevan zil zikron kasi kilif nimdami. Since it comes to reminder, it reaches the machshava. That's like Kodesh Kadoshim. That's because it reaches the innermost chamber of reality. But what it means in us is that, you know, within the shofar, you know, we are also carving, you know, we are reaching, awakening. And that's Mamash Deloshan Rambam, we're going to read in a second. We are awakening the core of our personality. We're sleepwalking through life. We're just sleepwalking. Walking from one sensational event to another. Seeking stimulation. Some call it inspiration. It's all just bittul zman. Oh, you're buzzed. Oh, you're buzzed. And that's what it'll take to get you to part with your money.
Yeah, can you hear?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Be well.
See you
soon,
Tova.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Yeah. All right. Our core is asleep. The core of our personality is asleep. You know, it comes out at, you know, a very rare time, sadly, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu demands real Mesiras Nefesh. Right? You know, but our core is asleep. You know, it's a frightening thought. You know, we've weaved a dream world for ourselves that puts us in a terrible place of complacency. You know, which is putting us in a great mortal danger. You know, Hashem Yirachem. There's another three hurricanes now brewing in the Atlantic. Now, it's the most basic lesson. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always tells us in Tanakh. He speaks to us through the weather. Right? I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about the, you know, how a guy gave some food to someone in Harvey. I don't care. The question is, what did we do wrong that brought Harvey? That's the question. I don't want to hear these heartwarming stories that convert everything into sensation, everything into news. You know, as a Rav of mine said, Rav Ramat Shlomo, Matzil Daishlito, why are they called Zman? that publication. It's called Bittelsmann. Why do they call it Zman? We have all this, you know, Jewish media that keeps us asleep with Judaizing stories from Chicken Soup of the Soul. Just put in, you know, Jewish names. I could clearly recognize some of the stories taken, plagiarized, right? And we go from sensation to sensation, and we avoid doing the real work. The real work. Right? Yeah.
So what's the takeaway from this? Isn't the takeaway that do we need hurricanes in order to do chesed with each other? Isn't that one of the takeaways? Shouldn't we be doing chesed with each other without hurricanes?
That's one of the takeaways, but there's much more. Yeah. Right? Ask yourself, hurricane is like, think for a second, think. It's the closest thing we have to a mabul, right? So let's think for a second. Why did the mabul come? Right? Well, promiscuity. Right?
Hummus.
And gezel. You know, it's got to think. You know, you really have to think. Altov Nevardik. It says in the Madrega Sa'adam. He gives a mashal, and there's the problem. This is the problem, and the Jewish culture right now is feeding the problem severely, you know. But here's the problem, right? He gives a mashal. He says that in Russia they had their own prohibition, you know. Again, for a while, you know, weren't allowed to make your own schnapps, right? So, you know, people start producing, you know, their own, you know, bathtub gin, you know, their own stuff. So he says, you know, a common occurrence was, you know, someone was malshing on someone else that, you know, he's making schnapps. And so cops come, and, you know, the person opens the door and says, you know, I agree with the prohibition, you know, all this. All this bathtub gin's corrupting the kids. It's causing brain damage. You know, I'm with you. I'm with you guys. Not only that, I'm going to help you guys look. And he takes them, you know, to the outside shed. And he opens up a trap door. He takes them down there. And he takes them into all types of nooks and crannies they would have never found by themselves. Just clean, you know. And, you know, so as the cop leaves, said, you know, Mother Russia needs more citizens like you. But here's the thing. He didn't take him inside the coat cupboard. That's where he has his meth lab. Right? He says, the Alter Rivark says, we pull the same stunt with ourselves. We do cheshbon ha-nefesh, and we look and look and look where we know we won't find anything. And we look and look where we're not afraid to confront. The cupboards that we're afraid to open, we don't open. But we console ourselves because we look so hard. We felt comfortable looking. Like the guy who says, you know, I'm looking on for my quarter over here because there's more light, even though I lost it over there. That's the problem. You know, but it's not just, you know, it's not just not doing the work, but it's deluding yourself that you have done the work. And that puts us in terrible, mortal danger. You know, don't do tshuva. You don't do tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care if you were inspired and you heard this bogus lecture or that bogus lecture that tell you sweet little nothings, but nothing of substance. Because he won't get paid if he does the real work, right? Because that's what you want to hear, right? It's a famous story. Not a famous story, I shouldn't say that, you know, but I read a story years ago. I can't remember where I saw it. The Meister from Chaim Volozhin. From Chaim. You know, he sensed that two Bokhrim weren't discussing the sugya he was learning. He just saw by the body language, something like that, you know, these guys are not talking and learning right now. So he walked over to them and he said, you know, what are you guys talking about? Spill. He says, Rebbe. And I was saying to my friend, you know, as you look around this base medrash, guys steiging, you know, so. I say the Yetzer comes to Volozhin and he says, I got nothing to do with this town. Here I'm bankrupt. I got to find myself business, you know, in another town where they're not learning Torah like this. That's what I say. You know, and the other one says, you know what I say? I say it's much more than that, you know. He sees all the Torah Hilishma and B'Mesiris Nefesh. So I say that the Malach Gavriel and the Malach Michal, the whole Pamashma tells the sun in your face, you'll never take Klaisol. We have the Voloshin or Yeshiva. And the Rabbi Voloshin says, I'll tell you what the Yitzhar is saying. He says, talk about me. Talk about how bad I am. Talk about how you got me on the run. The main thing is don't learn anything. That's what he's saying. You know?
So what's the takeaway? When we're indoctrinating, what are we supposed to focus on in order to try and improve the situation?
Yeah. We have to be, we have to awaken the core. You know, right now Jewish culture is very much supporting the dream. Maybe, you know, we said, you know, you have to look around you for the massacres we're saying. So, you know, aside from hurricanes, there's another word that you hear very often in the news. Dreamers. DACA.
What?
Right? The dreamers. Yeah. Yeah,
Rebarshim.
I know what they are. I didn't hear them.
I don't know what they are. What are they?
Dreamers.
Children that were born here as children. Illegal immigrants came.
With
brought their
young
children.
Uh-huh. And now there's a whole political debate about what to do about them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's all... Baruch Hashem, you all listen to the news, Ashrei. It's Baruch Hashem. No, it's... Statistics have shown people who don't listen to news are happier and live longer. Yeah, but, you know, Baruch is talking to us. We're sleepwalking.
I think somebody did mention that the mayor of Houston was gay. So that goes along with...
Okay. You know, there's totally not getting the message. Totally not getting it. You know, the Chavos HaTalmidim, he speaks about that in his Sefer Achshar Savrechem. He says that, you know, it's very easy to weave things into your dream. You know, like he gives a mashal, a person's dreaming, and he's in a stock room, and a mosquito bites him while he's sleeping. So he weaves it into the dream that one of the boxes that he was putting away fell on his head, you know. The sting gets weaved into the dream. So you don't have to wake up, right? And he says something even more frightening in one of his other writings, another sefer. He says that, you know, he tells a story that once he was giving a shemuz, and then he had everyone crying. And he just, he looked around the room, just walked right out. And so they asked him, Rebbe, you were on a roll, you had them crying. He says, they were enjoying the drama. I'm not an entertainer. And he goes on to explain, either in that piece or another piece, that just like a person could enjoy the burn of cheap schnapps. So people like the burn of Musser. You know, there's a way to, you know, I like the burn, I like the drama. You know, I don't know. You know, it's what will, you know, all these bogus magazines that have no place in the Shabbos table, no place in Jewish home, what you call Zman, Mishpacha, whatever, all just wasting our time and feeding us garbage, feeding us junk, that you could delude yourself into thinking is substantive instead of really engaging in real substance, pseudo-substance, right? Which is just polluting our minds because the editorials are not written by big Talmidei Chachamim. They're Amoratsim, and they are saying their opinions. You know, same with our Jewish artists. We're inundated with junk, brainless junk. And it's perverting our values. And by the way, it goes by all the storybooks. All the storybooks, the Magid this, Magid das, a lot of these stories are connected halacha, are connected das Torah. Yeah, but people don't know. It's ignorance. And so since ignorance is a problem, let's do something about it. Right? There's a lot of junk out there that's helping us, you know, stay in our dream world. Right? Not allowing us to wake up, not allowing us to break through. But I say, you know, the biggest tragedy that would happen to any one of these papers, there shouldn't be a few hurricanes to write about. What would they write about? Shemra, all right? We need our drama, don't we? I need the heartwarming stories and this and us, you know, Shemra, right? Instead of doing the real work, right? You know, it's something that needs to be said because the problem is, you know, out of control, right? I get sickened when I get these videos, you know, this tour led by this Rav, you know, they went there and they danced by this Gavra, they went there and they danced there. I wonder how many black gemara did they learn? You're on the road for 5 days with a Rav. What did they learn? How many black gemara you show for all those hours? What? How much Musar? How many people did you help? But everyone's inspired. Everyone came back inspired because they don't pay money for substance. They pay money for buzz. But this exacerbates the problem, right? That, you know, we have our own type of culture, right? As, but Torah's not culture. Torah's work. It's results. When you get to Olam Haba, right, in which the Rambam says, the din on Rosh Hashanah is me'ain the din on the day you die. They ask you, what did you do? How much did you learn? How many people did you help? How many meters did you fix? That's what they ask you. They don't ask you anything else. They don't care if you felt inspired. They don't care, right, if you were with the right chevra. They don't care. They ask you, what did you do? What did you accomplish? How much did you learn? What do you know? Who did you help? What meters did you fix? All right. They have these things called think tanks, where people just waste time and spend money. Think tanks about how to promote achdus, you know, think tanks about this, think about that, conventions. Who actually gets helped by a convention? No one. Right? They talk about it. Dibur. That's what we're talking about. They talk about it. They talk about what should be done, what needs done, and everyone eats a lot. And you go home, so garnet from garnet. Nothing came out of it. Nothing. So we talked, we spoke about it. We addressed the problem. We addressed the problem. We spoke. Who cares about speaking? Who actually got helped? Right? You know, you have Antifa in the streets beating up people because they care about minorities. I want to meet the black person that was actually ever helped by a member of Antifa. He helped him with his homework, helped him with stalker. Nothing. They speak about social justice, and they beat up anybody who doesn't speak about social justice. Well, that's, if that's what's going on, you have to look in the mirror and ask if that's what's going on in Klal Yisrael. It's a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk and a lot of sensationalism. And sensationalism, you have to understand, the way the human mind works is that when the emotional zone is up, the rational zone is down. And that's when the Yetzirah has a party. Now, I still can't get over it. You know, two events. One happened 12 years ago. One happened just 2 years ago. Right? I can't, you know, this has to, if we don't say this, you know. Right? 12 years ago was the Girush from Gush Katif. I think we mentioned this before. You know, and they sell these videos as Am Yisrael's beautiful moments. The soldiers dancing with the people they're evicting. Those are sick. It's sick. Right? Totally sick. Right? You're ruining a person's life and you're dancing with him. But of course, I'll tell you what happened. You have to realize that both sides were in an impossible situation. Impossible moral dilemma. Right? Jews having to evict Jews, you know, and take them out of their homes. And the Mizrahi movement now had their whole emunah that we're going to make a partnership with these people to bring Mashiach, right? Right? It was a serious crisis to the Mizrahi ethos. How do you deal with that? Answer is, you could kumzitz anything away. Just go to that zone, sing and dance a little bit. The rational zone goes down. You don't have to think. That the calculating zone that has to be activated goes dormant. Right? You know, most recently, I don't want to say the name, you know, but it still burns in my bones 2 years later, and especially now because I have a few chaverim that were nifter, bekitzer yamim. There was a central figure, a very choshev person, you know, that was nifter in five towns a few years ago. You know, and I went to the Shloshim, and I thought a person that didn't make it to 60 was not Yotze Michlal Karis. It's a terrible tragedy. You know, I thought that, you know, we really get our backsides kicked in. You know, Musar, you know, get on with your life and, you know, do something. You don't know how long you have left. Nothing. One speaker after another, you know, and when we went motoring together in the Alps, he always wanted to down with a minion. And when we were in Mexico, he wanted to see the Kylo also, so we had to make sure to drop by the Kylo. You know, if you have given the dead man a voice to speak, what would he have said? There's charat on the whole thing. All that time and all that money wasted. Right? And don't waste your life that way. Don't live the decadent five towns lifestyle. But no, but it was perfect what we call dream weaving. Right, they pushed the sentiment buttons. Everyone cried self-righteous tears. One guy got him said, "Such a teddy bear of a yid." Button Rab Bonham said, "You know, that is such nonsense." But it struck a chord. Everyone cooed when he said, "A teddy bear of a yid." Right, that's the problem. We're asleep. We are seriously asleep, and the culture is supporting the dream. We're not waking up. We're not waking up. Right? And that's what the shofar is about. Right? Breaking through. Just like it breaks through all the different layers of reality. It's supposed to, in the individual, it's supposed to break through all the layers of baloney. Penetrate. All the way down to Yom Terua, Miloshen Hisorus. Wake up. The Ikar is the Terua. Wake up. Wake up. The core of the persona is what's asleep. The core of what determines what's important, what's not important, what's valuable, what's not valuable, right? Our core perceptions, the core of the persona needs to be awakened. So things could be, ask ourselves, what's really, really important? Words are cheap. Sorry is cheap. Vidui is cheap. If it's not backed up by substance, the substance is the core. Your core perceptions. And that's where the shofar is supposed to penetrate. In the individual and in the cosmos. And if we want to make sure that, you know, this year will be better than last year, and people will be marach yomim, and there won't be hurricanes. We want that this year should be taka, you know, better than last year. That's what we have to do. Right? If we want to get out of this golos, right now we're in terrible, mortal danger. No one's thinking, right? We're dead, right? Mishugana in North Korea, right? And, you know, but, you know, right here, you know, our greatest, you know, stupid OU, stupid Agudath Israel, right? You know, when in Charlottesville, they attacked the president, you know, people are brain dead. People are brain dead, right? First of all, you don't attack the president because we need him. Right, like, where's your seichel? If there's one person that's much to be machnif to on the planet, it's the president of the United States. Right? We need him. Klal Yisrael needs him. Right? You don't criticize the president. But they're such idiots that they just went with the popular idea. Nazis are bad. Ergo, the people on the left were good. Right? And the president said the truth. Right? That there's on both sides. And that's the truth. Who do you think is coming for us next? Not the 3,000 losers that there are in the whole continent of the U.S. 3,000, you know, elementary school dropouts who are just blaming the fact that they can't make a living on the fact that they're white. Right, so there are 3,000 of them, mamish, something like that, mamish, you know, in the whole continental U.S., they're not the ones who are coming for us. The people on the left, they're the ones who are coming for us. They're the ones who are coming for us. Okay. You know, but let's not confuse anybody with the facts. So this will end off with a Rambam, and you can understand, finally, you know, there's a Rambam that's not very well understood, but it describes, after you hear, you've heard this presentation, you understand exactly what he's saying. Afal pi, it's Parak Gimel of Hilchos Teshuvah Halacha Daf. And with this will end. Afal pi shkiyas shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiras hakasav, even though shkiyas shofar in Rosh Hashanah is gzeiras hakasav, remez yesh bo. There's a remez. Kloimar, meaning to say, Uru Yishen Mishnaschem, awaken, you know, from your sleep. V'nedarim v'kisru tararaschem, and those who are in the slumber, wake up from your slumber. V'chipsu b'maaseichem, right? Look, take a hard look at your deeds. V'chizru b'tshuva, right? Zchu barachem, and remember your Creator. The Ram goes on to say, Elu ha'shokachi b'sa'emes b'havlei hazman. V'shogim kol shnasam behevo v'rik asher lo yevletzu. These are the people that forget the truth with the vanities of the time. Right? We always do vanities. It means, you know, your day-to-day life. Right? Right? And you throw away all your years, right, and hevo v'rik, which won't help and won't save. Habitu l'nafsho seichem. Take a look at your souls. Hativu drachechem aleichem. Right? Straighten out your ways. And everyone should abandon their bad ways and their bad thoughts. So now Ram adds something that seemingly doesn't shtim. You know, he says lefikach, and therefore. So the shofars wake up, right? And we're serious dreamers. Wake up, he says lefikach, and therefore. Tzarch kol adam shiras atzmo kol shana kulo kiu chetzel zakeh hezekayev. A person should view himself year-round as if he's exactly 50% zakai, 50% chayiv. V'chein kol ha'olam kuloi. Chetzio zakai, chetzio chayiv. The whole world also. 50% good, 50% bad. Chata chet echad, you do one sin. Harei achriach atzvah v'kolam kol ha'kaf chova v'garam lo ha'shchasa. If you did one sin, so you've destroyed yourself and you destroyed the whole world with it, because you're the one who tipped the scales for yourself and the whole world. Destroyed all. Also mitzvah achas, but if you do one mitzvah, you've bent yourself and the whole world to the side of schus. And you saved everyone. Shenemar, and that's what the pasuk says. V'tzadik yisod olam zeh shetzarek v'chrias kol nisakos v'hitzus v'hitzilo. Right, this is the one, you know, that, you know, with one mitzvah, you know, just moved himself and the whole world, saved everybody. Right, what does it have to do? It says, you know, Rosh Hashanah, you wake up. Right, and therefore year round, always, every time, look at it as if it's 50-50. Your next move seals the fate of yourself and the whole universe. Well, answer is, because what does it mean to wake up? To wake up means to take responsibility. Take responsibility. He says, if you did Rosh Hashanah right, then that's the way you're going to live throughout the year. Because Rosh Hashanah right means to take responsibility. Right? We said at the beginning of today's presentation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is processing the Midas HaDin and his Malchus all through Klal Yisrael. What's the difference between being in it or being just around it? Which is the difference between a tourist and a citizen? You go as a tourist to any country, it looks nice. Because you don't really live there, so you don't have to deal. You're not responsible to the authorities with your taxes, and you don't have to deal with all the bureaucracy. That's why, whatever. People get conned into moving places, you know, when it's not really the best thing for them. You go there as a tourist, but as a tourist, you don't really know what life is really like, because until you're responsible, you know, to that place, right, and you have to, mamish, therefore, deal with their authorities and deal with their bureaucracy, you don't really know what it is until, right? And you have to ask yourself, are you a tourist of Judaism? Are you a tourist? Right? You go, this Jewish experience, that Jewish experience, this thing, you know, that thing. You know, you're a tourist, you know, tourist of Judaism, or you're a citizen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference between a tourist and a citizen is that a citizen takes responsibility. That's called to be living there, as opposed to be touring. That's the difference between having Torah around you or Torah in you and flowing through you, right? Is that whether you are going for the experience like a tourist or you take responsibility. When you take responsibility, it's in you. It's inside of you. It flows through you. And when it's that way, it's a pleasure. It's not a pain. It's a pleasure because you're in sync with it. Right. That's the yesod. That's what the Rambam's saying. When I say the shofar is a wake-up call. Right? The yesod of waking up is, as opposed to being asleep. This is between what he calls, we are, you know, metaphorically asleep, as opposed to how we wake up. The metaphoric sleep is not taking responsibility. Experiencing, coping. Right? The being awake is taking responsibility. Right, and taking responsibility, being Mamach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not as a formality, but really, I work for him, and that's all I want, and there's nothing else, there's no higher honor, and I'll do everything I can, right, to justify that when it's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Naaseh Adam, he meant me. Right, that's, you know, and that's the avodah of shofar, that's the effect that shofar has on the kasus, the effect that shofar is supposed to have on the individual. To wake up and take responsibility. And if you did Rosh Hashanah right, the sign that you did Rosh Hashanah right is that year-round, you're always taking responsibility. My next move could seal the fate of me and the whole universe. That shows if you did Rosh Hashanah right or not. Did you take responsibility?